Hello, everyone, and welcome to Blind Bargains Cast episode 71. It is me, Joe, with my friend JJ. Hey, Jay, how's it going?
Hey there, how's it going?
I am doing well.
August.
And two shows in a row that we're on some kind of normal format.
Don't jinx it.
This is true.
Just
well,
don't.
No, I can understand that. And to actually show people that we're back on some kind of normal format, we've got Scott on board. Scott's going to talk to us about the Amazon Echo and a voice remote app.
No. See, you. I had to fix that for you. It's voice, just the voice remote.
Oh.
Not the voice remote app.
Oh, okay.
The actual voice remote. So this is hardware. So you may be remotely interested in staying tuned for that.
Okay.
Because, you know, it's a... It's a remotely good idea.
If
you are remote positions from your app or from your Echo.
Okay, so I won't be apoplectic about that. I'll be more interested later on in the show. That's how we correct that.
Wow.
By the way, thanks David Woodbridge for listing us in his favorite podcast. I saw that over at Dean Martineau's Tech Bits, and he listed us there with a lot of great other podcasts. We are a good company, so thanks David for doing that, and we have a link to his blog post at the top of the show notes. But we have so much more news to get to that we didn't get to last week, including a little bit of information that happened, as it often does after we finished recording. APH releases Nearby Explorer for iOS.
And this is one that's been talked about for what? When was the first time this came up? A couple years ago? I think it was before these podcasts started.
Yeah.
And
Larry
iOS
would always say, if people are interested, we'll do that.
Which we knew people were interested. And judging by the traffic spike on the Nearby Explorer mailing list, people are definitely interested.
Say so. There were a lot of people who were happy to see this. $79?
$79, and instantly
US.
The Android version, which was $99, also dropped to $79 at the same point. I think those are permanent, but haven't been able to confirm that.
Right.
The price drops. Android does have the online version, which doesn't use the offline maps. That is still free, and that's not on iOS. I'm not sure if it will be. But essentially, it's the same product. So for those of you who already have Blind Square or some other product, like, why would I get another GPS? I don't know. I've been telling people forever, I think it's the best GPS program on a mobile device because it does so much. It does door-to-door directions. It does, you know, the dead reckoning where you can just mark a point wherever and find it. It does transit. It does map exploration. It does so many different things. And
agreed.
It's really well thought about. Larry Sukon and the team behind that at APH just did a really good job of doing all sorts of cool things with it. And you can do it on iOS. The map download is big.
Oh,
so
yes.
So you need, what, about 4 gigs of space?
I would be on Wi-Fi, yes.
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 You know, I think I killed the data cap that way. They give you a warning, and for somehow I missed it.
You know, I actually didn't on the online version when I traveled to Minnesota. When I went to Minnesota, it started just, you're in a new place. I should download these offline maps. No, wait, stop, quit. No. So, but that may be something that was direct to the online version because I had changed my location.
Or it's a lot smaller, so.
Yeah, that's true. But it is definitely something that will take up a 16 gig iPhone. So if that's something you have, you should probably think about that before you jump into it.
But it is available now, and I'm sure they'll be updating it. The manual's online. We've linked to an article, and we've linked to the manual, and but everything else we get linked to. And, of course, you get it straight from iTunes. It is out there, and go try it out. There's no trial, unfortunately, but there are lots of
podcasts. A lot of people
have asked
about that. You know, Again, that takes a little bit of time. There's always rights management issues. There's a lot to do.
Especially with maps.
Yeah, with Google.
But there
maps
are, will
especially.
Be inevitably some podcasts and things out there. I'm pretty sure there already are. So you can just find some of them and somebody else will take you through it. And you can get that.
Asked twice by listeners if we're going to do something on that. When one of us has $80 and ponies it up, then probably be Ricky.
Ricky
wants it. Ricky wants it and won't let Ricky dive
into it. Oh, then she can do
it
because I already have. My primary device.
That's
so
correct.
But, I have no reason to buy it again.
She has Blind Square, and she just finished her trial with what was it? Seeing iGPS. So yeah, she's definitely interested. We'll get Ricky to come in here and talk about that.
There you go. Maybe she can do that.
Yeah, I thought I like that idea. You know, there was a click rule mentioned, I believe, in a podcast not too long ago, and someone asked about that recently. And drawing and being able to do measurements is something that is kind of difficult for some people. enter into this a new app. And this is, I got this from Cool Blind Tech. This is,
it's also APH, which is interesting.
Yeah.
And this came out of nowhere, right?
Yeah. So the app is Draw to Measure Protractor. And this was designed for blind individuals in mind and allows you to get some ideas about how to measure some things. Perfect timing for school, wouldn't you think?
Oh, yeah, definitely. So, you know, a protractor, I had one in whatever grade that was. And, you know, you use it to measure angles, essentially.
Correct.
So there's two ways that you can apparently do it with the app. One is if you have a small object, you can set it on top of your phone and you can draw around it using your finger and it will tell you the angles. That's kind of interesting. It would work better on an iPad, I would guess, because you'd have more space.
That makes sense.
Or you can use the phone's accelerometer, and I don't know how well that method will work. I guess you kind of move the phone along whatever you're trying to measure. And I think it's just, you know, it's just the angles, although it's going to get the measurement of each line to form the angle as well. So I don't know. It's an interesting idea and not the type of typical app that you would normally think of creating, but why not try it and see with all the capabilities of phones these days and see what happens. And this one's free. $80.
That's a little different than $80. You're absolutely right. Just requires some understanding of spatial reference and math. So I'm out. the other one here, though, in the trifecta of iOS-related apps that I have placed here in the news section, a lot of people were telling me about one that came out this month called Yes Chef Hands-Free Recipes. And this, too, is free. And the idea is that you're able to use recipes and be able to get a step-by-step by just interacting with your phone audibly, talking back and forth to your phone and going through each step. And some of these are self-guided, but a lot of elements are read by voiceover, as said here by the Apple Vis link that I went and got after some people told me about it on Twitter.
And this came from Chris Morey. So Chris was on our show last year, did that Say Shopping app, which was you could use to shop at Target. And we were talking then, okay, what other types of voice applicated things could there be? And of course, recipes is one that makes a lot of sense. Been thinking about doing that on the Echo, but it makes a lot of sense on the phone. So he's done it now with his team. And so it's cool to see another app coming from them and that they're voice still, and able they're still
to
be along.
Able to do. I love the name Yes Chef. That makes a lot of sense. That's
Yes
actually
Chef.
Kind of funny.
is that what you have to say for the next direction? I'm not sure how that works.
I'll have to play with this. I just saw this, so I haven't had an excuse to be able to do that because this is a little after the recording, so some people will be upset about this, but Postmates had a Olympics thing going on. So you voted for the country you wanted to win by voting from that nationality of food. And there were some places that were usually $20 Postmate runs that were for $3.99. So we've been like, ooh, we've always wanted to try that. So we've tried a couple of things on Postmate. So we haven't had a reason to cook for a little bit because we've got a little crazy ordering
I see.
Places.
It's all delivery all the time.
Not all the time, not everything, but you know, for the most part, it can be that way. But this was a special occasion, so that's kind of how that worked. Now, we've spoken about Braille a bunch. We've heard a little bit about Brego Labs being the Lego printer that we've talked about before. Well, it seems that Mr. Banerjee, the young entrepreneur that he is, has a web app that will help with being able to decipher text and the like, from what I understand.
And memes and things. Have you been able to figure out from this article which browser this works with or how this works?
No, it seems very general in how it works, from what I understand. And I would assume that it is somewhat browser agnostic, but I won't swear to that. This came out a couple of days ago, and I haven't had a chance to sit down and really mess with it.
Yeah, the one that jumps out, I mean, there's certainly uses for this. Those little goofy infographics.
Oh, sure.
You know, things like that are certainly, you know, there are things that we see as pictures that really have a lot of text in them. You know, we start realizing that with playing with the OCR feature of Chicken Nugget, like, oh, wow, there really is a lot of text on the screen. So this is a kid that has a lot of behind him. He's had investments from Intel before. I mean, so he has the tools to make something like this happen.
Absolutely.
There's a video and everything that we'll link to. We'll have to do a little more research on this one and see how this is actually being implemented for which browsers. Because, you know, like I said, there's lots of text behind those images that we just don't realize is there. And, you know, could you expand it to doing frame grabs on a YouTube video, for instance. You know, that could be really interesting.
You know, you could do
that now, but it would be a really, I mean, you'd have to grab the frame, send it to OCR. Like, it wouldn't be very automatic at all. So,
and I thought about that too with Twitch is experimenting with captioning. I saw that Able Gamers was working with them with captions. And I wondered, like with YouTube, if some of that will be able to be captured at some point, maybe not all in real time. Of course, that's the biggest capture point, is to be able to get some of that information in real time, especially for those who are deafblind, who are trying to follow along on a display. But maybe on recorded ones, maybe that track will be easy to grab. So that's interesting. I'm watching that kind of on the periphery. Able Gamers are great to follow on Twitter if you're into inclusive design on gaming. Also, speaking of inclusive design, something that should have been with the Apple TV fourth generation when it came out is finally out. It's right. The new Apple TV remote app runs on your iPhone. I've got it running on my iPad. Just about everybody in the house went and got this, so that way we can control the Apple TV without having to use that.
There is the confusion, your confusement. That really is a remote app.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. that truly is. It is voiceover friendly. It does everything you need it to do. There are like only one or two places that have like weird naming conventions, but you do have a surface area that you can use to flick up and down or left and right like you do on the Apple fourth generation TV remote. You can use Siri on it, so you can do searches and then be able to select things. Play, pause, control. If you can't find something, you usually have your phone or your iPad closer to you than you do the remote that's fell down the back of the old sofa. So it is a really good thing. Liam and I had talked about it a little bit on Twitter. It is something that really would have been very helpful back in November when the doggone thing came out, but is here now, and it is good in case you don't want to buy a new Apple TV remote or have one on every coffee table.
Lots of fanfare surrounding the Apple and the iOS 10 event and the iPhone 7 event coming up in a couple of weeks. Of course, we'll be all over that with very little fanfare and no event at all. Well, pops out Android 7. It just got released a couple hours ago as we're recording.
That would happen. They said it was going to be like late August. Remember back at I.O.?
Yep.
There was a rumor over the weekend that said it was going to come out on the 22nd, but it was tagged as rumor. A lot of things started to show up as well. Allo and Duo also made it out to the Play Stores. I've got Duo running on both Android and iOS here. It's painless to set it up, but I haven't actually had an opportunity to test it cross-platform yet.
I've mentioned this before, too. I mean, the reason this release of Android, or even some of them, is not even our lead story, it's just the Android operating system now has gotten to the point where the operating system focuses on the really core bits, the how do you make the hardware work, how does, you know, all the background stuff, where so much of what actually happens with users is in the software. So when Chrome gets an update, TalkBack gets an update, or Gmail gets an update, those actually end up being lead stories as opposed to the operating system itself. Well, yeah, okay, version 7 is pretty cool. It has multi-window support, which is accessible, what to play with. You can run two apps on the screen at once. There's some cool little things. You can press the recent or the overview button twice quickly to flip between your last two open apps. I think that's a really cool little tiny feature. Yes.
It kills off the headroom of 7 apps, and then it kills them off in the background because you're not using them.
Mm. Yeah. So, I mean, it'll be lots of little things that'll be happening. As far as accessibility, there'll be more, again, you know, TalkBack will get its own updates. The one about display size is really interesting, where you could force your bigger Galaxy Note 7, for instance, to pretend that's like a 480 by 320 display, which really just enlarges everything for low vision users. So little things like that could be really interesting. Mono support is finally in. That's one that's been around on some devices for a while. So you can turn your, for hard of hearing users, you can make your device mono. You know, a bunch of other little things here and there. But
yeah, nothing gigantic. And it's really rolling out for, at the time of the recording, the developer channel and those who signed up for developer channel of the Android testers.
They're getting it this week, yeah. And it will start rolling out to others. And we'll delve into more of it. Of course, the main Android devices and Nexuses will get it first. And
Marshmallow's over 20% of Android devices currently and growing. Lollipop is right behind that and slowly falling to the wayside. Same as Windows 7 and, say, Windows 10. But like you said, it is not like iOS 10 where you must have the latest and the greatest and you are absolutely out of luck if you're not. And Nexus devices are still the way to go if you really want to stay on top of things. But the Nexus 5 phone is not supported. And Jay, now's the time, man. You've got a new coaster.
Yeah.
The Nexus 2013 version of the Nexus 7 has reached EOL, end of life.
Sadly.
It was a good one. Served you well.
It did. It did serve me well. But I'm ADD with these things anyway, so it's okay.
I was hoping there was going to be some new hardware. You know, there are some quote-unquote...
Well, there's an LG phone called the V20.
Yeah.
That's going to be released, I believe it was early, the first week of September. So it'll be out, I think it was like September 6th, I think, was the date on that one.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We haven't seen too much on the specs.
Looks like a big bezel, too, if that's to be believed, because there's like a fingerprint sensor and some other stuff. So that might be very interesting. But if you're still looking for some deals, I've seen the 5X and the 6P come down in price a lot since July. Yeah. So if you're looking for a Nexus phone.
Or just wait a few weeks. You know, it's like the iPhones. Just wait a few weeks, see what else comes out. And then we'll have the whole fall lineup out. And then you can see, and we can make some recommendations on what's the best. You mentioned developers.
I did.
If you are a developer, one of the first sites that you end up using often is called GitHub. Is it GitHub or is it JitHub? It's GitHub.
Yeah, sure. Depends on which screen reader I'm using.
Right. But there you go. And this is a new article that was written for Mastering.
Yeah, it's going to be a series of articles, the way it looks like, that kind of sort of take you through some of the more developer portals and how to use your screen reader in these environments, which is kind of neat. That kind of dovetails into Marco Z's article that he had out about how to test for accessibility with NVDA and Firefox. And as we're speaking, the new version of Visual Studio, I think 15, is running out with a lot more accessibility in the account area. So there is a lot of developer tools that are getting love from various platforms. And of course, not to be forgotten, the Playgrounds app is voiceover friendly for iOS users who are looking to learn more about coding. So there is a lot of things for those of you who are young and about who like to play around with the ones and zeros. Which is really kind of amazing to see, because that's really, I would say, we've beaten down a lot of doors, but developer tools can sometimes be those that are the hardest for us to get access to.
Yep. That being said, it's still easier, foresighted or blind, I think, if you really want to get into it and be a true geek, just do it command line, because you can, you know, you can get, for instance, the Git command line shell and download things. If you want to be one of those people that downloads NVDA and gets the updates daily and wants to contribute to it, then that's one way you could do it. Of course, if you have no idea what we're talking about and you're not into programming, then just forget I just said that.
Yeah. The idea of PowerShell being open source by Microsoft for Linux, Mac, and Windows would have no desire for you to be, but that also did happen. But not something we would normally put in this show, but
if you like, if you are a type of person that's good at remembering commands and, you know, and data and things like that, then, you know, doing some more things from the command line might make some sense. As
Bash in Windows 10, babe. Oh man, that is the awesomest. So there is that. Liam goes on about that a lot too, which is really cool. Magic. It's just magic, as in Magic 13, which just recently had an update. We've talked about a lot of programs coming out with their Windows 10 anniversary updates, or just their updates in general. You know, we had WindowWise 9.51.
The
update for JAWS 17. I mean, a lot of updates. Dolphin had their updates. AI Squared has Zoom Text update coming out soon for Windows 10 anniversary. Everybody and their dog is going to be doing this for just a little bit, either because of Office 2016.
Yeah, I'm just looking at this list. It's a very typical enhancement list as far as like lots of just random assorted bugs, PowerPoint, Excel, Outlook, some stuff. Focus tracking and focus enhancement now work with magnification is set to 1x. Okay. I mean, I guess I'm not a low vision person. I don't understand. I guess, you know, sometimes you want to have focus tracking but not magnify at all. I guess things like that. So, I mean, but fixing some instability issues and just lots of other things. We'll link to these lovely release notes from the freedomscientific.com, as it is here currently, website, so you can get the latest from that.
You could actually be reading that on the web with, just for an example, use Magic 13 to read the latest version of Access World. You know, in there is a good friend of ours, Jamie Pauls, who's written a huge article on the Braille Note Touch. learn what he had to say about that. There seems to be a bit more on Video Magnifiers. Any other articles maybe you want to
mention? Look at this. This is my newest infatuation. I probably will do some stuff with this on our little podcast, the Instant Pot.
Yeah.
The Accessible Kitchen. Yes, I bought one of these, as many people did, on Prime Day when they were $70.
And they went on sale again after that, and I didn't get them either, and I feel really bad about that.
They did. That was a different model. It was actually an older model, but they do go on sale from time to time. And, of course, we did have that on Blind Bargains if you were following us that day, and I know several of our readers bought that. So it is a very accessible, smart pressure cooker, which you can use to do everything from making rice to making yogurt. And I've already used it a few times. It's very accessible. The buttons are tactile. And it beeps and everything. So you can read about it in the Access World. You can buy one through Blind Bargains. You can talk to us and we can maybe share recipes. I've already made a couple of interesting things.
There we
things
go. Use that Yes Chef app earlier.
Right. Well, if find some,
it all comes around.
Choosing the right electronic magnifier for you, Joe. You can,
I saw that.
That's a Shelley and Lee collaboration there. Yep.
So, and probably an still goes TV. Some of so, that information that she got over at CSUN, and Shelley helped us with our conventions earlier this year. National Braille Press has a very interesting article about 15 years of conventions and what's changed, and kind of gives you an idea of what it's like to walk through an exhibit hall floor and the pits and the perils thereof. But I thought this was a really interesting article. Did you have a chance to peruse this one?
No, I need to because my first convention exhibit hall was in 94 in Detroit. And of course, I mean, I was just a teenager.
Was that
two
at the Renaissance?
Yep.
Oh, round.
And I remember being infatuated, among other things, with the Mina.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
Which was a 486-based. Yep. It was a computer with a Braille display built in.
So true.
So for those of you who are more recent, like, hey, why don't people just make a computer with a Braille display? Well, that was tried. Yep. And it's actually being tried again now with this.
ironically enough.
With this Freedom Scientific product.
It's old is new again.
And that, that other one that I had a really not great showing in the podcast at CSUN. I don't even remember what it's called. The other Windows Braille display thing with the finger holes.
Yes. I know which one you're talking about. And I
you
too
can tell
would
how memorable
to,
it was.
Yeah. I too would have to go through our archives over at blindbargains.com to remember some of those. But to be fair, we look at a bunch of thingies constantly and have new things. In fact, I was trying to remember Allo and Duo just a minute ago. Because there are so many crazy apps out there that may or may not use vowels to be able to tell you what they are. And but take a look at this article. If you have not gone to a convention, you want to kind of get a good feel for it. There's a lot of good descriptors in here and some interesting viewpoints and takes from our friends over at National Braille Press. Now, this article got up.
Inside Vision.
Late.
Sorry. It was Inside Vision has some of those 32. So, well,
I'm glad you looked.
Available for $7,000.
Well, while you're there, I have not read this story. This is kind of a last edition here. Tell me about Braille and Challenging and the Echo.
Yeah. You know, this is another one of those that we missed while we were gone, while we were busy at conventions. Mike Deuce was writing more apps. And actually, in this case, an Amazon Echo skill. So it's a skill called Braille Challenge, and it will ask you questions about Braille dots and contractions and the history of Braille and all sorts of different things. And it's a free Amazon Echo skill and his first on the Echo. And you can enable it from your Amazon Echo or
Go
Tap.
Michael, multi-platform, amazing, crazy man that he is, playing No Man's Sky. We've had a couple of conversations about that on Twitter. And man, I saw some links about the new PlayStation Slim. So September 7th is going to be a really hard day for me. Remember a couple of months ago when I had the Microsoft event the same day as an Apple event? Uh-huh. Well, this time I'll have a Sony event the same day as the iPhone event. It's going to be a really crazy day for me on September 7th once again in geek territory because there are going to be some new Sony PlayStation models. And I don't have one yet, and so I'll be watching that in one browser window while watching information about the new iPhone, which we will have in the house at some point. With or without a headphone jack. Yeah,
we'll see. Find out soon.
I know. Same bat channel, same bat place, right? Exactly. Same iPhone place, same iPhone channel, ladies and gentlemen. But that is not all that we have on this particular episode. We had just mentioned the Amazon Echo just a moment ago.
See why I put that story there?
I like that. That was a good crossover. I like that. And so we have some information from our friend Scott. who also will be on the iPhone event. So it all comes around. So it's all circular.
Yeah.
It's very podcestry. So is some information about the Amazon Echo coming up right here with Scott. And then we'll be back to talk about things with a tip, the last word, and of course, your comments and suggestions over on Sound Off.
You probably have heard about this, a new kind of sunscreen.
Oh, yeah. I am aware of this.
yeah. We'll tell our listeners in just a bit.
We'll let that be a surprise for you, because summer is not over yet. You still might want to use this appliance on the beach. You definitely will get looks, that's for sure. Find out about all that and more right after we listen to Scott talking to us about the Echo.
Hey everybody, it's Scott Davert here to review this time around the Amazon voice remote for Echo and Echo Dot. It is not available for the Tap. The purpose of the Amazon remote is so that you can talk to Alexa whenever you want, even if you're not necessarily in hearing range, but you're still, say for example, jamming out to your music, or maybe you want to change stations, or whatever the case may be. You might be within Bluetooth range, but you're not really able to yell loud enough, especially over the loud music, in order for Alexa to hear you. So Amazon has come out with the voice remote, which helps offset that challenge. I'll go ahead and describe the remote. It's probably about 5.5 inches long by maybe 1.5 inches wide and 1 inch thick. The buttons are all on the surface of the device, and there's a little light at the top. By the way, it does take 2 AAA batteries, which are included. Below the light, you have 1 round button. That round button is what you press and hold in order to talk to Alexa. And then below that, you have a round circle, which does 4 things. Pressing it up will turn the volume up. Pressing it down will turn the volume down. Pressing it to the left will go to the previous track, if there's one playing, or to the previous news story. If you're listening to news on the TTS, for example, pressing it to the right will, of course, move it 1 track forward. And then in the center of that, you have a circle, which is the play pause button. One limitation of the remote is that it is not able to be paired with more than 1 Echo product at a time. The reason for that is because how would it know, for example, which one you're trying to talk to? And it's also, I think, a good thing, because if you have the wake words set up as the same, and if you're going to do it with, say, an Echo and an Echo Dot, for example, you probably want to set up different wake words, which you can do. But you're able to easily and quickly press the button on the remote and activate whichever Echo device it is connected to. Speaking of connections, let's go ahead and go in and connect this remote to my Echo Dot, and then I'll kind of demonstrate it for you. So I have the Alexa app active here on my iPhone, and I'm going to go ahead and quickly walk you through how to pair these two devices. It's a very accessible process. And by the way, the process isn't really all that much different with the Alexa app for Android. So if you're running the Android version, it shouldn't really differ too much. I'm going to go ahead and launch the Alexa app now.
Alexa, navigation menu, link, home, main, landmark.
So I need to go into navigation, the navigation menu.
Selected, home, tab, navigation, landmark, 1 of 11.
Go down to the settings tab.
Enter search text. Settings, tab, 9 of 11.
I just hit space with F on my braille display and typed in set. It jumped me right down to the settings tab, which is number 9.
Settings, settings.
What I need to do now is find my specific device, because you have to specify which device you want to connect the remote to. In this case, I'm connecting it to my Echo Dot. It's actually to the left of where I'm sitting right now. VoiceOver didn't announce it, but it shows on my braille display, set up a new device. But if you flick left,
Scott's Roger offline, link.
That is not what we want, but if I go left one more time,
Scott's Echo Dot online, link.
There it is.
At settings.
And I'm now at the edit button, which isn't what I want.
11,050.
I need to find set up a voice remote, which I believe is off to the left somewhere. It's kind of strange with this app because it's, a lot of the time on iOS anyway, will place you in the middle of the app. I'm actually flicking to the left now.
This device edit button, Scott's Echo Dot. Device name, region, sounds and notification. Pair device remote, link.
There we go. We have pair device remote. I will go ahead and select that.
Settings.
To finish searching pairing, for your remote, press ellipsis. And hold the play button on your Echo remote for 5 seconds.
I'm pressing and holding the play button.
Successfully connected to your remote.
Your Echo remote is ready.
There it goes. We got confirmation.
Should avoid commenting on.
And I was still holding down the play button, so it actually started playing the NPR thing I was listening to with my news briefing, which is actually a new thing. About 3 weeks ago, when I first got the voice remote, it did not do that. So I'm glad to see that there is now a confirmation that the device has been paired. Now, if I press down the round button above the navigation pad that I was telling you about, what time is it?
The time is 3:08 p.m.
And by the way, I do not have the device set to listen to me. I can say, Alexa, 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 and nothing happens. So that's another advantage to that. If you're in a setting where you're worried you might trip the thing, you can turn it off and still use the Echo remote. I found that it actually has a range of about 75 feet. Certainly 50 feet is consistent, but about 75 feet. And it does go through walls and everything. It's Bluetooth technology, so it works pretty well. Now what I'm going to do is step out of the room and show you that it does indeed work from another location. And we're going to find out how much the voice remote costs. I'm actually going to pretend I'm ordering one with the Echo Dot. So I will be back shortly. I'm going to leave my room and close the door.
Voice remote for Amazon Echo and Echo Dot, new generation. It's $32.58 total. Should I order it? All right. Check your Alexa app for more options. Excuse me, waiter. This coffee tastes like mud. Yes, sir. It's fresh ground.
Yeah, that wasn't very funny, actually. Anyway, so that is the Amazon Echo remote. I'm coming back over the computer. So that is the Amazon Echo and Echo Dot remote. It is available, as you heard there, for about $32 on Amazon. And you can order one right from your Echo or Echo Dot if you want. For the BBQ, I'm Scott Davert.
Hello. I have a tip for you since JJ was too lazy to record one himself. What a slacker. Anyway, I want to tell you about an easy way to turn text files into audio, using a free program called Balabulka. You can use it to create an MP3 version of a Microsoft Word file, or perhaps a novel you downloaded from Bookshare. Simply open the file, and then select the Save Audio File option from the File menu. You can control the rate and pitch of the voice from the voice menu. Plus, if you've bought the Sappy Eloquence or Vocalizer voices, which by the way you can buy from AT Guys, or any other Sappy 4 or 5 voice, you can use them as well. There are a lot of handy features such as a pronunciation dictionary and the ability to split a long file into several audio files, so check out the program to see what else it can do. Balabulka is available for free, and the author accepts donations if you like the program. We've got a link on our show notes. Thanks to Brian Harkin, wait, that's pronounced Hartgen, for the tip. Send your tips to feedback@blindbargains.com. And tell JJ he needs to wake up and actually do something for a change.
It's your turn to sound off. Email feedback@blindbargains.com or tweet us @blindbargains.
That was some fascinating information there, but what is just as fascinating for us to listen to are your comments. And we have 3 emails that came in over the last week or so. The first one from Miss Janet Brown. It's sent from her iPhone, no less. Just so we know. So yeah, she
thanks.
So wants to know included. About, you know, Braille input on an iPad, iPhone, what have you. And would somebody please come to CSUN and talk more about how to do these things with Braille input? She likes being able to use the Braille, and she kind of gives some ideas about how she feels about our Braille display conversation from last episode.
You know, one of the things, by the way, that comes up with Braille input, and it actually ends up being a lovely promotional crossover, but haven't mentioned it too much here. There is a new tactile screen protector from Speed Dots that we have over on AT Guys that is set up for the Braille screen input mode on your iPhone. So you may not think that you need the tactile dots on your phone anymore for the keyboard because you figured that out of the phone, but perhaps this is a newer thing. You haven't used this before. You can get a tactile screen protector that has the six Braille dots as well as some others on the screen, and you can use it to line up your fingers, and you can master Braille screen input mode, which is a really, yes, as Janet mentioned, it is definitely, I know a lot of people that are really using it efficiently, and they're saying, I can type with that faster than any other way I've ever typed on an iPhone before. So
these are some edge use cases, but there are some boardrooms that have forbidden all phones of all kinds, and they just find them distractions or a nuisance. So a Braille display-enabled note taker would kind of sort of work around that because you're taking notes and it's not necessarily a phone or a device where some sighted
person. They don't have to know that, though. Hold on, though. I mean, if I have my Refresh Braille 18 out or my Beetle or whatever, they don't have to know that it's connected to my iPhone in my pocket.
Yeah. That is entirely true.
The Braille and speak, and, you know.
I know what you're saying. I'm just repeating what other people have told me out in the field. There are individuals who like to have the ability to do Braille displays on devices that are not necessarily connected to the internet, although some of the most modern ones are. But some people do like that, and some people just like the feel of a solid Braille display that they're familiar with. It's what they've grown up with. We've talked about this a couple of times, about those who got used to the Braille and speak, or those who got used to KeySoft devices, really enjoy the feel, the response, and they feel comfortable in the file system. Moving documents on and off for them is a little easier than having to deal with cloud services with an iPhone. And I do agree, you know, VoiceDream and all of that does make things a whole lot easier. But for some people, that's still a big thing for them to learn, and they don't feel comfortable doing it.
Looking at another email here from Sharon, who has been listening for a while, but admittedly, she's like, I mostly listened to your CSUN coverage in the past. But then she checked out our podcast of tips, number 69, and decided to, that it was going to hook her in. So she said she's now added us to her feed and everything, and compliments you for your tips and me for playing with drums. But
this is true, but this is also a former coworker of mine. So I hi, Sharon. I can't say much, you know. What a great email. Fantastic. I am absolutely, no, I'm kidding. One of the best emails. No, I'm
kidding. Oh, yeah. I met her in Texas a couple times.
She knows me extremely well and could say more things about me than I would ever care to on any type of social media, because I've known Sharon for a very long time. And she's a trainer in her own right and a damn good one to boot. Lydia writes in as well, and she has listened to 70, and she has to admit that her favorite part was Patrick's 2016, which is at the end of that particular podcast.
No, this is at least the third time that he's dropped this clip in, and every single time
we I know, people always write in about it. Every time he does, it's really hysterical.
Which means she didn't hear the first two. That's always catching some new listeners on that.
I love it. She also enjoyed the live podcast. We had a lot of people write in or tweet us about the live podcast. When we think we can make that happen, we will try and do that again, because I think it was a roaring success and you guys enjoyed it too. And it's interesting to always have new voices on the podcast, like having Chansey on to do convention coverage, or to get live listener comments instead of us repeating them back to you here from these, which you can read in their entirety over at blindbargains.com under the audio page. But it is kind of neat to be able to have that interaction back and forth in real time and get people's feelings about how things are going. But that's like I told Jay the other day, that's like, we got to get back to convention mode of for us, iPhone, then holidays, then ATIA, and then the whole kit and caboodle starts up again. So we'll think about that. That is definitely something for us to look forward to in the future. But, you know, your suggestions do help make this show, and they do make life a lot more easier for us to put the show together. And I get that when I'm doing the last word, because people will retweet certain things that I have over on my Twitter feed, and I'll go, ooh, that is a good last word thing. I should keep that around just in case. And, you know, in this particular case, I had this Ocarina of Time thing. So there's a game called Legend of Zelda, and one of them was called the Ocarina of Time. And in that, the character Link could play musical notes on his little thing that would normally like cause the wind to blow or cause water to raise or lower to help him get past some obstacles. But in a later version of the game, when it was released, you could actually play your own musical notes and write your own songs or play a bunch of other people's songs in really weird fashion. Here, take a listen to some of these really crazy versions of songs on the Ocarina. That final countdown, that's kind of funny. And if you hear the little clickety-clack, that's him moving the buttons really fast to be able to get the notes or hold the notes.
So he's doing that live?
On the 3DS.
That's not one of those things that's like sequenced.
He's moving it up, and he has a camera on his hands, and you can see him moving it through. So he does all of these songs, including Sonic's Green Hill Zone, which I was stuck in my head for like 3 days after I heard it on this. But yeah, he sat down and figured out all these combinations of songs on the Ocarina on his 3DS. And as fast as he's moving it. Exactly. Careless Whisper. Yes.
Thanks. Yes. That sounds like that. If you ever had those old Casio keyboards from the 80s, it sounds
like one of those.
Yeah, the instruments on that.
I also put here a link, and this is just a personal one. I was a subscriber to Omni Magazine, and I watched Peter Houstonoff do his version of that when it was on video form. But I read this magazine for many a year. It was like analog magazine. There was a lot of science and, you know, fiction in here. And this one project is actually doing an archive of Omni Magazine, and I hope they make it all the way through. You know, there was actually 13 years of Nintendo Power got placed on the Internet Archive, and then about a week later, Nintendo came down and said, no, stop that. You can't do that, which is a shame because there's a lot of great articles there in video game history. But in this case, there's a lot of articles or fiction stories that were only published in Omni, and Omni ran from the 70s to the 90s. So I put a link here in the show notes to be able to keep up with this website that is doing an archive of Omni magazine.
Gotta love those. I mean, the archives of magazines, you know, going through like the playback archives from back in the day and listening to the brand new Sharp Talking Calculator and all that stuff. History is great stuff. You know, there's been a lot of great products released through history, and now we have a new one to add to this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you are out there in the summer, you have a little bit left for summer, it's 100 degrees out, take a listen. You could perhaps use this.
Are you tired of messy sunscreen? Sick of that awful lotion odor? Do you want to smell like fried chicken, but you're just not hungry? Introducing the KFC Extra Crispy Sunscreen.
Extra crispy.
A real limited edition product that we are giving away for free. It works just like regular sunscreen, but it smells like fried chicken.
I'm a lot more popular now.
I smell 10 years younger.
Extra crispy.
Just get a whiff of this stuff.
Extra crispy. My extra crispy sunscreen doesn't just keep you smelling great, it keeps you feeling delicious. Extra crispy delicious.
KFC Extra Crispy Sunscreen.
Extra crispy.
It's real and also do not eat it.
Smells like chicken, tastes like sunscreen. Mm-hmm.
Get your extra crispy sunscreen now for free. It's definitely real and definitely not edible, so do not eat this. Available for a limited time only.
Extra crispy.
Yep. So that's KFC.
I have often that said that, why smell like coconut when I could smell like 18 herbs and spices? That is, depending on your KFC.
Did you order your free bottle yet?
No, I mentioned extra, this yeah, to you, Ricky this afternoon, and she made that lovely sound of bleh.
I was having a little bit of trouble with the accessibility of the form.
Oh.
I was going to send one to you.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate you thinking of me now. What would you, if you had KFC, do you need the mashed potatoes and gravy sunscreen for the person next to you? You need to sound like the combo meal. You need the whole.
I just love how they have to specify like at least two or three times in the commercial, not edible, not suitable to eat. Cause like they're just waiting for that lawsuit. Man. Someone in the legal is like, you better mention this.
You know, somebody would. Well, you didn't say I couldn't. So, wow. That is very, very strange.
They did not want you to be extra crispy. Well, this isn't. There were already the Pizza Hut cologne.
Yep, where you can smell like even greasy pizza, or yeah, like most 18-year-olds that do a high school after school job, you can smell like that.
There you go. So there you go. That's last word. If you have anything weird like that,
yeah, let us know.
Let us know.
We'd love to feature it. We've had user submissions on Last Word before, and those are always a kick. You can send it on over, or you can follow me over at Ranger Station. That's twitter.com/RangerStation, all one word, to be able to see stories like this and so many other ones that may or may not make it to said podcast. And definitely a fun time for all.
You can tweet us at Blind Bargains as well, twitter.com/blindbargains, or email feedback@blindbargains.com. I know next week's show, it's the one before Apple, so we have a little bit of opening. So if you are thinking of doing a review or a tip or something, just let us know really quickly, and maybe we can squeeze you in for an upcoming show. Of course, you can go to atguys.com and get all sorts of a cool assistive tech. That is atguys.com. Or you can call 269-216-4798. And you can tweet us at AT Guys there as well. We will be at, we got shows coming up again. The Greater Detroit Agency for the Blind and Visually Impaired's fall open house. Although it's before fall, it's actually in the beginning of September, September 10th. That is right in Detroit, Michigan.
We'll be in a rectangular or square like building, not that big round hotel.
This is in their offices or somewhere. It is not at the Renton. And we are at the Michigan Parents of Visually Impaired annual conference in Dearborn. That is September 23 to 25. We're leaving Michigan at some point soon, too. We're just trying to figure out. It does look like we're doing the NFB Colorado convention in October. We might be adding one or two others. So stay tuned. We'll have some more details on the fall as it gets closer.
And I will actually be riding in a big old truck across the United States as I fly back to Texas and bring some of my stuff to the East Coast. So I will tell you how accessible that whole thing went next time, because I actually did sit down and go through some moving websites and looked at the accessibility of those very briefly, and then had a lovely conversation with them this morning about that my truck was ready and when would I be picking it up. And I was like, well, me personally, I'll be paying for it, but I don't necessarily will be driving it. So that's a real interesting thing. You never really think about what is going to be involved in an accessible move or that kind of thing until you sit down and have to go through those websites. So if you have questions or thoughts about that, send them to us too, because that would be really interesting. So follow me on Twitter. You might see some interesting posts about stuff I find across our great nation as I'm rolling in a big old truck back
to American Pickers.
Yeah, there we go. I was thinking more Ice Road Truckers if things went really, really wrong. How did we end up in the Great White North? GPS, don't buy near my Explorer.
So I'll be here next week, and Joe might be here with me too. We'll find out. The only way you'll find out is check out episode 72, which will be next. So thank you so much for listening, folks.
Have a great week, everyone. We will
see you. Have a great week. Bye.
This has been another Blind Bargains audio podcast. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest deals, news, and exclusive content. This podcast may not be retransmitted, sold, or reproduced without the express written permission of AT Guys.
Copyright 2016.